Whispering Streets. Whispering Streets, a complete new story each day, Monday through Friday. And here is Hope Winslow.
Hello. Nearly 25 years of marriage. Janet Ferguson was 44 and her husband William was almost 50. But as she served the sketchy lunch that Saturday, she couldn't help feeling a bit complacent. Her Whispering Streets had converged in a garden place. Life was beautiful and crowded with fulfillments. William grinned at her.
No, ma'am, I ain't seen your birdie look, Janet. Brush those yellow feathers away from your mouth, woman.
You calling me a cat?
Well, you can take it or leave it. Why are you feeding me such a featherweight lunch?
I thought you might as well have some of the refreshments, William. No use preparing two sets of food.
Oh, you're playing bridge with the girls this afternoon?
That I am. Just four of us, though.
Well, I'll stop on the way back to the office and get myself a hamburger and a cup of coffee.
Send Miss Tanny to the drugstore later in the afternoon for coffee and a sandwich.
No, I can't impose on Avis to that extent. The poor kid's busy enough as it is, working all day Saturday and overtime other days.
She won't mind running out to the drugstore. She adores you.
Yeah, and the feeling is mutual. I don't know what I did before she came to work for me, Janet. She's a treasure.
And very beautiful. Avis Tenney could pose for a magazine cover. You're beautiful, too, William. You're a knockout since your hair turned gray. You're a million times better looking than you were when I married you.
Well, it shows that you've taken good care of me all these years. Well, I'd better run along, Janet.
Yes, darling, don't get too tired.
I'm tired before I start. Oh, I have a lousy brief to dictate to Avis. I have to look up a million precedents, and late in the afternoon, I have an appointment with Evan Merrill.
Don't tell me Evan Merrill needs legal help. He lives such a quiet life. I can't imagine him in trouble of any sort. You know, I pity Evan. He always wanted to be a lawyer, and he was sort of snafu'd out of it.
And now he wants his son to take up where he left off. That's why I'm seeing Evan. He wants to get my advice about college and law school.
I didn't realize Evan's son was so grown up.
Children do grow up, honey. You've got a grown-up daughter, remember? You know something, Janet? You look more like Laurie every day.
William kissed his wife and raced off, and Janet washed the few luncheon dishes and set up a card table in the living room. She was laying out the cards and the score pads when Belinda Steele flounced in. Belinda was a scandalmonger. William called her the town crier. Janet never took her seriously.
Oh, I'm early, Jan. I hope you don't mind. I thought we could dish up a little dirt while we were waiting for the others.
Dirt?
Perhaps. Oh, you're looking very smug this afternoon, Janet.
William accused me of the same thing. Well, why shouldn't I look smug? Hmm? I have a lovely home, beautiful daughter who's graduating from college next June. My husband's a knockout, and he's got a bunch of rich clients.
And a gorgeous secretary. I should think you'd be jealous, having a good-looking girl like that alone with William all day, every day. And Saturday afternoons, too, when they've got the whole place to themselves.
Oh. Don't kid yourself, Belinda. William's too busy to get into mischief.
When a man's at a dangerous age, and William is, he can always find time for mischief. You're right about William being a knockout.
Now, when he was here for lunch, I told him he was a million times more attractive since his hair turned gray.
What was he doing home for lunch?
Well, he always comes home for lunch on Saturdays. He usually stays home for the entire afternoon, but he had a lot of extra work to do, as I've already told you.
And Avis Tenney to help him with it, as you've already told me. Oh, well, to go back to gray hair, Janet, men look wonderful with gray hair. With men, it's a mark of distinction. But with women, it's a sign of age. Your hair's turning all of a sudden, Janet.
Well, only at the temples.
Only at the temples so far. Oh, I'm glad my Howard isn't a lawyer.
Good heavens, what's wrong with being a lawyer?
But they're as bad as doctors. They're constantly thrown into intimate situations with women. Attractive women coming in for divorces. Beautiful widows who want to break their husband's will.
lawyers and doctors think of their patients and their clients as guinea pigs.
Avis Tenney's no guinea pig. Last Thursday, when Howard and I were having dinner at Henri's, I looked over at William sitting there with his secretary, and I said to Howard, "Don't you ever let me catch you having dinner with a girl like that."
In just a moment, Hope Winslow will be back again, but first...
With communications and travel methods improving every day, this old earth is growing smaller and smaller. Yet at the same time, the number of newly independent nations is growing larger. There's no stopping a people's determination to throw off foreign control. That's why freedom is in the air all over the world. One of the more than 20 African nations which recently gained its independence is Guinea. It exemplifies many of the problems of the emerging nations. Tribal relationships have to give way to new political institutions. The foreign technical and professional men left abruptly and must be replaced. The new state's economy has to be built up and new industry encouraged. In all these matters, Guinea has to look for foreign help. And as a former colony ourselves, the United States is happy to extend a hand to help Guinea get on its feet.
Now, back to our story with Hope Winslow.
Janet Ferguson lowered her eyes to the pack of cards she was setting in place, picked them up, shuffled them absently.
You know, I asked William to have dinner downtown last Thursday with Avis. Wasn't anything in the house. I had a bad headache.
That's what I call trolling temptation in a man's way, my dear. If I were you, I wouldn't play with fire.
Oh, don't be a fool, Belinda.
Of course, I am a fool. Always imagining things. Oh, I wish I had your nature. You're so sweet and tolerant and unsuspicious. You should have wings and a halo.
The other two women, comfortable, friendly women, arrived, and the conversation became four-sided in general. They talked about mutual friends, they swapped recipes, discussed food prices. But when the game was over and her guests had departed, Janet realized that her complacency had vanished. Belinda had said enough to make her wonder. And when William came home and he was an hour late, she was snappish.
Why are you picking on me? Did you lose your shirt this afternoon?
I'm cross because you're late for dinner.
Well, I'm not very hungry. Avis and I had a snack about four.
With a lousy brief to dictate and all those presidents? To say nothing of Evan Merrill. How'd you ever find time for a snack?
No, he squeezed him in somehow. The time, I mean. Avis insisted on pink ice cream like a kid at a party.
Oh, that was too cute of her.
What's the matter with you, anyway? You were very up-and-coming when I left this noon. You were full of bounce. You probably ate some of your own party food. You better have a dose of bicarb.
I need bicarb like I need a hole in my head. Do I look middle-aged to you?
No, I never think about how you look, really.
Oh, that's a swell compliment. Oh, William, let's get out of the city tomorrow. Let's go for a drive somewhere, have dinner at the first nice place we come to.
I have to be at the office for a while tomorrow morning.
Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning, too. Good heavens, is there no rest for the wicked?
None at all.
Avis be working with you tomorrow?
She said she'd come down if possible. She said she wasn't quite sure.
Mm. You've so much work, dear. Why don't you call in another lawyer, You could use some bright kid who's just out of law school, studying for his bar exams.
Might be a good idea.
Would be a welcome change for Avis Tenney. There aren't any young men in your office. It's hard on her being shut up weekdays, Saturday afternoons, and Sundays with a middle-aged man.
Oh, Avis doesn't mind.
Huh?
As a matter of fact, she was saying she thought she'd go to night school and study law. Since she's worked with me, she says she's getting more and more interested.
At After William had buzzed off to the office on Monday morning, Janet studied herself in the mirror and saw new gray hairs, saw lines in her still pretty face that she'd never been aware of before. The next day, she went to a beauty shop, had a touch-up and a facial, and on the way home, she bought a new dress. She wore the new dress that evening.
Oh, big day, darling. I'm bushed.
Now, I feel as fresh as a daisy. Why are you staring at me?
Well, can't a guy look at his own wife? No, I always liked that dress, Janet.
You never saw it before.
Didn't I?
No.
Janet, do you mind if I have Avis up at the house tonight? She's going over my card index, and I want to check names with her.
I should think you'd see enough of Avis in the office.
I don't. That is, we never seem to get finished with the work. Oh, maybe that's Avis now. Hello? Well, I'll be... Say, that's terrific. Ah, that's something like it. Well, maybe I can get tickets for a show. If I can take the afternoon off, that is.
William, who are you talking to?
Lori. She's coming home for the weekend.
Oh, Grand, Lori will be a tonic. Let me talk to her, William.
Here's your mother, darling. I'll come back when she's through.
Lori, how are you, dear? Yes. Yes, the sweater's almost done. You can take it back with you. I'll work on it steadily for the rest of the week. Oh, I love you, Lori. I'm frantic to see you. Here's your father again.
Talk about tonics, baby. You've already been a tonic for that mother of yours. She was looking dragged out before you phoned, but now she looks like $1 million.
Lori had phoned on Monday, and during the week between Monday and Friday night when she was due home, her father said 100 things about Avis Tenney's youth and beauty. And Janet suffered the death of 1,000 tortures. Lori reached the house on Friday before he was home from the office, so she and her mother had a little visit by themselves.
Oh, it's wonderful being here. Oh, I sound, well, drippy, Mother, but when I come home, I'm so terribly sorry for the girls who don't have a real home to come to. What I mean is, you and Daddy are still so much in love. If I ever heard you two quarreling, I'd think an atom bomb had moved in on me.
Lori, if anything should ever happen, if your father and I should ever...
What are you trying to say, Mother?
I mean, Lori, if your father and I... Well, if, for instance, there were another woman...
Oh.
Well, then, if there were another man...
Oh.
Well, stop laughing, Lori. I'm being serious.
Oh, but it's just so silly.
It isn't. Now, Lori, listen to me. If anybody ever did come between your father and me, which one of us would you choose to live with?
Which one would I choose to live with? Mother, you certainly are gruesome this evening. I want both parents.
A bit. Nothing gruesome about me, dear. Certainly that sometimes it's best to cross your bridges before you come to them.
Choose between you and Dad. Mother, I just couldn't make that choice. I'd be like the baby in the Bible, the one some king, Solomon, I guess, was going to cut in half, so there'd be enough of it to go round.
Lori went back to college, and life settled into a grim routine for Janet Ferguson. She was trying to make herself into a competitor for a woman half her age. William was frankly puzzled.
You look different lately, Janet. Sort of shellacked and brittle. I can't put it into words. Only thing I can say is different. Is anything on your mind? Or anybody?
Million things on my mind, but none of them are very vital.
That's good. I'm getting ironed out myself. Oh, incidentally, I found a young man who will work out fine as an assistant. His name's Mark Blakely. Avis met him at luncheon last Wednesday, and she thought he showed promise, so he'll start with us on Monday.
Does Avis okay all of your decisions?
Well, a woman's intuition is an important factor. The three of us had a long talk over the luncheon table.
I am not interested in your conversations with Avis Tenney and a young man I may never meet.
Well, all right, if you feel that way. What's got into you lately, Janet? I spend all day with a woman who's bright and gay and anxious to please me, and I come home evenings to...
To a dull, middle-aged wife who doesn't even try to please you, right?
In just a moment, Hope Winslow will be back. How many members would you say there are among the newly independent nations? There are more than 20 in Africa alone. Also included are such diverse countries as Israel, Malagasy, Cambodia, Burma, and Korea. Faraway lands with unfamiliar customs, capital cities most people have never heard of, and some civilizations that go back to the dawn of history. Yet, all are alike in one respect, a burning desire to govern themselves in peace. Large or small, rich or poor in natural resources, educated or primitive, the newly independent nations of the world courageously look to the future as they set themselves to the task of developing their homelands. As a country that also earned its independence the hard way, the United States says, welcome, as each new sovereign state is born.
And now, back to our story with Hope Winslow.
Janet had spoken aggressively. She was looking for trouble. She was astonished when William picked up the gauntlet that she tossed at his feet. He spoke with apparent mildness, but...
You've got something there, Janet. You haven't tried to please me for quite a while. The last time I've seen you smile was that weekend Laurie was home. Wish you were home for keeps. It's nice to have someone young in the house. I have a good mind to...
To ask Avis Tenney to come and live with us?
Not Avis. Now, I have a good mind to ask young Blakely to come live with us. He's all alone in the world. I was telling Avis that he needs to be married, and she said...
I am not interested in Miss Avis Tenney's opinions.
I'll go to the door. I wouldn't want to call her to see you with that expression on your face. They'd think I was a wife beater.
That's Avis. Oh, that's Avis. I recognize her voice. I could go to the hall door and listen to what she... No. No.
Jen, darling.
Can't she even leave you alone? Would you... William, what... What's wrong?
They phoned the office. Avis came to bring the news. Janet. It's Laurie.
Laurie? What's happened to Laurie?
There were four of them in a car. It skidded. The other three were scarcely bruised, but... Laurie's dead, Janet. She was killed instantly. Oh, don't shake so, darling. I'm holding you.
Janet got through the funeral and the weeks following the funeral. She was conscious of William's arm around her. She was dazed. She couldn't think clearly. William was soon back in his own routine. A busy lawyer isn't permitted the luxury of grief. Month went by, 2 months, 6 months. Then one evening.
Avis was asking about you today.
She's kind.
Well, Avis may be only a girl in years, but she has a woman's understanding. You can't blame a man for falling in love with her.
No, you can't. William, I might never have said what I'm going to say now. Laurie were alive. We've had one dreadful shock. Second one will seem very small by comparison.
What are you getting at, Janet?
William, I want a divorce.
A divorce? Well, I guess I knew there was something wrong even before Laurie's death. The things you were doing to your hair and your face and the clothes that were years too young for you. I knew you'd fallen for someone.
William, I have...
Please, Janet. I've racked my brains trying to think who it could be. Of course, you're alone all day, and there were so many nights and Saturdays that I worked before I had Blakely to help out. You had plenty of opportunities to meet men. You said if Laurie had gone on living, you might never have asked for a divorce. But I should think that with Laurie dead, the bond would be as strong as ever, stronger, in fact. I should think that the shared memory of an only child...
William, are you crazy?
If I'd known that a swell marriage like ours could end the way this is ending, I'd never have advised Avis to marry young Blakely.
What?
You heard me. I've been running a propaganda machine ever since Blakely started to work for me. He needs a wife to bolster him up, just as I needed a wife when I was his age, just as I need a wife now.
William,
Shut up. I've been begging Avis to put him out of his misery, but she's been hesitating. She hasn't as much sense as you had, Janet, at her age. I wish to heaven you'd kept some of that sense.
So do I. Now, William, don't tell me to shut up again. I must have my say. I thought you were mad about Avis Tenney.
What?
I've tortured myself. I've dyed my hair. I've massaged my face. I've bought new dresses, new shoes to attract you. William, I only wanted a divorce for your sake so you could marry the woman you love.
But you're the woman I love, you idiot.
Oh, William.
I always have loved you, and I always will. Well, I thought there was nothing left. I thought that I'd lost everything worthwhile. First Laurie, and now you.
Darling, you'll never lose Laurie. You'll never lose me. Do you know why? What Laurie wanted most was a home with both her parents in it.
Suspicion can roll up like a snowball. It can become an avalanche which buries everything fine, everything worth having that's in its path. When suspicion attacks you, stamp it down. Save your immortal soul. This is Hope Winslow saying goodbye from the Whispering Streets.
Today's program was written by Margaret E. Sangster. Featured in the cast were Betty Lou Gerson, Janet Waldo, Sarah Selby, and Ken Peters. Whispering Streets was directed by Gordon T. Hughes and produced by Ted Lloyd. Your announcer is Dan Cumberly.
Whispering Streets has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.